He sees people who are sinking in the sea of sin. He sees people who are going under the sea of sin, that they are going to hell quicker than quick, and God sends lifeboats to rescue them. Now, we can shout, and we can say, praise the Lord, and we can say amen, until we come to the realization. Now, watch this now. Oh, somebody watch this now. Until we come to the realization that we are the lifeboat, that we are the lifeboat.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of the gift of evangelism from Psalm chapter 1. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of the gift of evangelism from Psalm chapter 1.
Was evangelized because of the Ethiopian eunuch, that the gospel was taken to Africa. Don't let anybody tell you that Christianity is a Johnny-come-lately in Africa. Don't let anybody tell you that Christianity didn't show up in Africa till the middle centuries or late. This brother right here was from, and many people identified the area of around the Sudan and in Lower Egypt, that this brother took the gospel. He got saved, and he took the gospel back to Africa, and that the church of Africa began to grow and began to blossom. Why? Because one man was obedient to God. One man was obedient to the Spirit of God. One man was obedient to the angel of the Lord, and he took the gospel to this Ethiopian eunuch and led him to Christ. And the good news spread. How many people, when you're in heaven, and you know, as a songwriter said, I'm just going to walk around heaven all day. And as you're walking around heaven all day, how many people are going to come up to you and say, thank you for being obedient and sharing the gospel? Well, when did I share the gospel with you? Oh, you didn't share it with me. You shared it with so-and-so, and so-and-so shared it with me. And so indirectly, I'm here because of you. I think of the people that I've been able in my lifetime to lead to Christ. And I go back to one evening in a small church on the east side of Pittsburgh in Turtle Creek, where Pastor Berkeley, who I went to school with, who I played baseball and basketball and football with, how that we went out and we got high together. And he got saved. And he got a burden for all the people that he grew up with. And thank God that he came back. And I was one that he came back and reached. And Pastor Berkeley was instrumental in me coming to know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I think about the people that I've led to the Lord. And one day they're going to go up to Pastor Berkeley, and they're going to say, thank you for being faithful. And Pastor Berkeley going to say, I don't know who you are. And they're going to say, I'm a convert that Pastor Glaze led to the Lord. My brothers and sisters, there's a whole continent of people that are going to be thankful to Philip because he was faithful and he was obedient when he had opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. People with this gift love to share the gospel with others. Secondly, people with this gift share the gospel by starting where the person is at and then leading them to Jesus. See, you know, I was witnessing with a brother one time. He was witnessing this guy. He said, now, brother, he said, you have to understand that this process of justification will culminate in the process of sanctification, which will lead to your glorification. I said, look, man, I've been saved 5 years, and I didn't understand a word that you said. See, you know, you got to start where the person is at. You know, it might be on your job. Preach the gospel by all means necessary and use words if possible. You might preach the gospel to them for 10 years before you say anything. just living. Start where you're at. You know, we're not asking people to go out here and take Bibles and thump up people over the head and beat them down. Preach the gospel by all means necessary. And use words if possible. Somebody gonna catch that this morning. Somebody gonna catch that this morning. You can start right where you're at. In your family, just letting your light shine. Just living a life for Christ in your family, in your community, on your job. Start where you're at. Look what Philip did. Philip started where the man was at. Verse 30. And Philip ran there to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? He started where the man was at. And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he besought Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before her shears, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch said to Philip, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other? And Philip started right where he was at. Philip took him right from where he was at. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture. And somehow they got back to Jesus. I love it. Somehow the conversation got back to Jesus. My brothers and sisters, that no matter where we start, at some point, it's got to get back to Jesus. Whether I said, preach the gospel by all means necessary, use words if possible, it's got to get back to Jesus. And he took him from where he was at, and he got back to Jesus. And the next thing is that the people with the gift of evangelism, they know how to present the gospel in a clear and concise manner. Verse 36, and as they went on their way, they came unto certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I'm going to get in trouble now. He didn't say what Reverend Wright said, that I have sheep that are not of this fold. He didn't say what Oprah said, I'm a free-thinking Christian and I don't believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. He didn't say what contemporaries are saying. Philip nailed it right on the head. Philip said, if thou believest with thine heart, and he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He had it straight. Philip had made it straight. Philip had made it plain to him. He didn't walk away there confused about, well, you know, what was Isaiah talking about? You know, how does this thing work? He wasn't confused. Philip said, if thou believe. And the eunuch said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I've done a manual, and I believe it's up in the biblical counseling office. And they might get mad at me for saying this, but I'm going to say it. Cynthia Adams has it. No. I have done a manual on evangelism. And in this manual, I go through evangelism from A to Z. I go through why you should win souls. I go through several plans of salvation. I go through objections that people will ask you. It is a thorough, comprehensive guide to help you understand how to evangelize and how to do it. So somebody might say, well, I don't know how to evangelize. Well, I'm telling you today, get a copy of my evangelism manual and you will know how to do it. There's no excuse. There's no excuse. It's plain, it's clear, it's laid out. And so as you walk out of here today, you cannot walk out here and say, well, I don't know how to evangelize. All right? Because it's there. Plans of salvation. How to deal with objections. Philip knew how to make it plain. Philip knew how to make the gospel clear. And then notice the last thing about people with this gift is they want their converts to become committed followers of Jesus Christ. Verse 38, and he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. This baptism was a commitment. It was a commitment to Christ. It was an open commitment to Christ. And Philip had no problem with showing the world that this man had accepted Christ, and now everybody could see that he was a Christian. People with this gift want their converts to become committed followers of Christ. So we just don't birth babies and leave them. But we birth them, and then we pray for them, and we guide them, and we direct them, and we try to lead them to the place where they, like these children that we dedicated to the Lord today, we try to lead them to the place where they will nurture and they will grow into mature Christians when you birth them and you give life. Well, let me rush through the next section, next couple sections. People with this gift desire to see souls come to Christ. They love to meet lost people because they look for opportunity to share the gospel. And then they love to memorize scripture too, and especially the ones about salvation. How is this gift misunderstood by others? Sometimes people think that this person is pushy. You know, why is he pushing? Why are you sweating me to get saved? Why are you on me? Well, that's just in his spirit. Sometimes people think that he's aggressive and it's for his own benefit. Sometimes people think he's more interested in numbers. I want to say how many, I led 20 people to the Lord last week, you know? More interested in numbers than people. And others think that he likes to judge people's spirituality by the number of souls that they won. No, you're not leading anybody to Christ, so you're not spiritual. How does Satan attack this gift? He causes pride by the number of converts. He causes him to see people as numbers rather than people with needs. He causes discouragement when converts are few or infrequent, and he causes him to look down on people that don't win souls. Where are some places that you can use this gift at Bethany? Evangelism team. You know, I just want to say this, that the evangelism team from this church goes out once a month. And we invite you to come. As it's listed in the bulletin, come and go out with the evangelism team as we go in the neighborhood and witness and lead people to Jesus Christ. Altar counselor, good place to use the gift of evangelism. Master's Kitchen, another good place to use the gift of evangelism. And the Missions Board, people that have a heart for evangelism. As I close this morning, we talked about the people with the gift of evangelism. What about us who don't have the gift? Well, all of us are commanded to share the good news. First of all, why should we share? Why should we evangelize? Number one, because unbelievers are going to hell. Now, once again, that's not politically correct today. Oh, we must not talk about hell. We must not talk about things like that. Well, you know, I would rather not talk about it. To be honest with you, I would rather not talk about it. But the Bible talks about it, and I'm going to talk about it, that there is a place that people, once again, contrary to Reverend Wright, that people that don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that there is a place that people go. Look at Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Oh, Pastor Glaze, you shouldn't be saying, you say that for a Wednesday night Bible study. You don't need to be saying that on Sunday morning. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth, the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead that were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Man, if that don't grip our hearts, if that don't grip us, that person that I worked next to for 30 years died going to hell. And I was sitting right there. People in my family that I love and that I'm concerned about, that they don't know Christ and they die and they go to this eternal place of torment and torture. Man, that should grip our hearts to realize that this is the message that we preach. This is what we have to say to people that are lost, that Jesus can save you from that. There was a man from Russia, and he came to America. He went to Utah to enhance his collection of butterflies. And as he went out to look for butterflies, he began to search, and he saw a butterfly, and he began to chase this butterfly. And he heard some groaning down by a stream. But he disregarded it, paid no attention to it. He came back and he was telling the man that about his experience of chasing this butterfly. And he told him about this noise that he heard of somebody groaning. And somebody said, "Did you stop?" And he said, "No." He said, "I had to get the butterfly." Well, it comes to find out that the next day, they found the corpse of a prospector that had died the day before. This man was so busy chasing the butterfly that he failed to hear the cries of those that were dying. And this place today where he was at, where this man died, is known as Dead Man's Gulch. Dead Man's Gulch. The man was so busy. Man, this pricks me in my spirit. And it pricks me that he was so busy chasing the butterfly that he didn't hear the cry of the dying man. How many of us are chasing the almighty? We're chasing the almighty dollar, and we're not hearing the cry of the dying men. We're chasing the reputation and the fame, and we're not hearing the cry of the almighty, of the dying. I know sometimes, and once again, I just be honest with you. I hit this church, man, and I don't stop from the time I come in the door until the time I leave. And it's easy for there to be cries of dying men, and the pastor becomes so busy with busyness that he don't hear the cries of the dying. Man, people are dying, and they're crying. Are we chasing butterflies? Why should we evangelize? We should evangelize because believers, unbelievers, are going to hell. Secondly, God said that we ought to preach the gospel. We need to be obedient to the Lord. God said that we should preach the gospel. It's not the great wish or the great hope or the great suggestion. It's the great commandment. Preach the gospel to every creature. Not only those with the gift of evangelism. See, that's why you need to get this manual that I put together, because even in there, it has some subtle ways. I see Mary and Cynthia laughing. I know they're going to get me. There's some ways in there. Friendship evangelism. Just sharing the gospel in through a letter. Sharing the gospel by inviting somebody to a place where the gospel. Man, there are all kind of ways where we can get the gospel out to people. And why should we do it? Because God has commanded us to do it. Another reason, and that scripture is Mark 16 and verse 15. Why should we get the gospel out? Because Jesus came to give abundant life to those who are hurting. Jesus said, "The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." People are lonely. People are wandering through life. People have no direction in life. People are caught up in drugs. Man, there's some hurting people in the world today. And here we sit with the answer. Here we sit with the answer. There was a great celebration in New Orleans in 1985 where they celebrated a whole summer without anybody drowning in the pool. They brought together 200 people to celebrate the fact that nobody had drowned that summer in New Orleans. And 100 of the people they brought together were lifeguards, certified lifeguards, to celebrate the fact that this great occasion had happened. After the event was over, 4 lifeguards on duty began to clear the pool, and they found a man that was fully dressed who had drowned in the deep end of the water. All these people around that could have helped, and they missed it. All these people that could have gave that man life. 100 certified lifeguards that could have given him life, and they missed it. How sad, how tragic. But here we have certified, bona fide believers in Jesus Christ, and people are still hurt. People are still hurting. They're still hurting around us. We got the message of salvation. We got the word of God. We got prayer. We got the Holy Spirit. And people all around us with all this certification that we got. All the certification that we got. Oh, I got my papers. I got my Christian papers. I was born in 1983. I got my papers. There go my papers right here. We're certified. And people are going to hell. Certified. We've been to the seminars. And people are going to hell. We've been to the concert and got fired up. Oh. And got fired up. But people are going to hell. We've been certified, bona fide, and people are dying. 100 lifeguards, 1985 in New York, 100 lifeguards, and a man died in the pool. Jesus came to give life. We got the message of life. Are we going to keep holding on to it? Are we going to keep hoarding the message? Why should we win souls? Because it's the wise thing to do. Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of righteousness is a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. I close with this illustration. One Mercedes-Benz TV commercial. This is deep. This is deep. Showed a car colliding with a cement wall during their safety test. Somebody asked the company spokesman, because all the other cars had began to copy this energy-absorbing force in the car. And other automakers were copying what Mercedes-Benz had found out. And somebody went to the chairman, the CEO of Mercedes-Benz, and said, why don't you get a copyright? Why don't you get a patent? Because everybody else is copying your technique, your invention. And this is what he said. Because some things in life are too important not to share. If we can save some people from car accidents, if we can save some people in these collisions, then let them copy it. Because there's some things in life that are too important not to share. Do you think that that's the message of Jesus? My brothers and sisters, that there are some things in life that are too important not to share. Preach the gospel by all means possible and use words if necessary.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Coming into the Presence of the Lord from Psalm chapter 15. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, The Gift of Evangelism, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Gift of Evangelism. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Gift of Evangelism. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Galais is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, Visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.